Waking Kerry up.
It's Kerry's full breakfast.
Claire got on to us to say her friend Louise had met Matt LeBlanc last night. Good morning, Louise O'Donoghue.
Good morning.
What happened last night?
Well, I was finished work and I went to the Oaks and I was having a pint with my boyfriend. Yeah, the fella in the bar said, you know, your man's coming down, he's going to buy tea. And we sat down, he was behind us, so I started freaking.
Yeah.
Got my signatures and got my picture and I got a hug, so I'm absolutely delighted.
What was he like, Louise?
He was cool. He seemed like a normal fella, you know? Wasn't bothered about anything, really. Ordered fish and chips.
And were you a Friends fan, Louise?
Oh, I'm obsessed. Every day I watch it.
Join us weekdays from 7 a.m. Waking Kerry up.
It's Kerry's full breakfast.
With Andrew and Elaine.
For the many thousands who have listened to Radio Kerry over the past quarter of a century, the phrase, "Your voice in the kingdom," is a familiar one. Thanks to the vision and generosity of the management and staff of the station over the years, many voices have been heard. It has been my pleasure and honour to bring some of them to the airwaves. Most would not have been heard otherwise. A man living with the HIV/AIDS virus in Johannesburg spoke to me of his hope that he might somehow survive. A small farmer in Lesotho spoke of her daily struggle to raise her children. A young volunteer from Tralee in an orphanage in Belarus told me how her entire life had been transformed by spending time with children who smiled, though they had little. Parents of children with special needs from all over Kerry spoke to me with searing honesty, but also with overwhelming love of the day-to-day challenges they and their families faced. An Irish priest told of his years fighting for the rights and safety of street children in the Philippines, and a man from the relief agency Oxfam described the horrors facing famine victims in the Sudan. These and many others have brought their stories from all over the world into the homes and hearts of Kerry through Radio Kerry. We live in a beautiful corner of a beautiful country. We are blessed with breathtaking scenery, clean air, and crystal water lapping pristine beaches. Other people, our brothers and sisters, are not as fortunate. Radio Kerry has been their voice in the kingdom.
Love that from Roisin. Oh, it's new from her. It's called Give It Up. This is Kerry's Full Breakfast. Good morning to you. 7:39 the time now. Just spotted this browsing around the web last night. Commonly used brand names that most of us are pronouncing incorrectly. Now, first on the list, something most of us have in the house. Oh, I have to stop buying this, actually. It's just so delicious and so bad. I call it Nutella. Nah, that's wrong, folks. It's not Nutella. It's Nutella. Nutella. Okay? Try that out next time you're in the shop. Nutella. Do you say that correctly? You can let me know. Next one I also say incorrectly. Lidl. Nuh-uh. Lidl, according to the experts. Lidl. And here's one that's a bit of a shocker for me. Not IKEA. And I love IKEA. IKEA. Dave, you know that? Here's one I've heard people in the States saying, actually. We say Hyundai. Hi to Adams, all the gang there, show sponsors, the Hyundais. It's not that, though. It's Hyundai, according to this article this morning online. Yeah, whatever. But the IKEA one is kind of a surprise to me, and the Nutella as well. There's nuts in them, not newts. I hope. Now, of course, over the past couple of months, we've had some lovely commemorations taking place for 1916, particularly the commemorations that took place in Banna last week. Looks like it was an absolutely wonderful event. I was so sorry to have missed it. When I saw the footage from it, I just thought, oh God, that was a real missed opportunity. But there was lots of really nice stuff going on, not just in Kerry, right across the country as well. But I did say myself here on the show, and I don't mind saying it again, that I was uneasy with children being involved in anything with a kind of a military undertone or overtone and with guns. And I particularly didn't like reconstructions of executions. Personally, I didn't think it was appropriate. But anyway, lots of people did. That was just how I felt about it. So when I got this email from Scullone in Ballina, which is in Tralee, I just thought, isn't this wonderful now? Isn't this a fabulous way to remember 100 years ago? And that's because in Scullone, they set up a classroom to look like a 1916 classroom. They had slate boards, ink pens, bare walls, plenty of religious icons, of course. The pupils then came into school over the past couple of days. I think it was Tuesday and Wednesday this week. They came into school dressed like school children from 1916. They also went on a historical walk through the streets of Tralee. They stopped off in some of the historical locations. They were at Ash Street, of course. They were Connolly Park, Roger Casement Station. And they also stopped off at Garvey Supervalue, where they were given milk and bread. That was customary at the time, where the local bakeries would feed the needy children. Isn't this just wonderful? So they got a taste of what it was like to be a school child in 1916. And I just think that's an absolutely brilliant, lovely event. And the lucky children of Scullone to get to experience that.
First, we're going to talk to the issue of the day, and that is that government talks, government formation talks between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are set to resume this morning, as it looks now like a deal will be done over the course of the next couple of days after the issue of Irish Water was pretty much agreed between them. Now, parliamentary party meetings took place last night between Fine Gael and TDs and the negotiation teams, and also the same happened within Fianna Fáil. We'll hear from Deputy John Brazel of Kerry Deputy, of course, of Fianna Fáil in a moment. But first, here is Alan Kelly, the Acting Minister for the Environment, on the reports of what was agreed, that is, the suspension and, well, let's face it, the scrapping of water charges. Have a listen.
I thought I'd seen it all, but if the media are reporting what I believe is probably accurate, then we're going back to the past. And if so, I believe the politics is failing. The issue of water charges has been a consistent blight on the political system for many years. And we do have to recognise that it has recently divided society, as it followed a period of horrendous austerity where Irish taxpayers were lumbered unfairly with major bank debt, which my party voted against, may I add. And I believe we're about to witness now the triumph of mediocrity over modernism, of short-termism over common sense, and immaturity over innovation. If the scrapping of water charges goes ahead, let's call it what it is. Political, economic and environmental sabotage. Let nobody think we are in any way experiencing new politics here, and this is the birth of a new political maturity. I believe this is 1977 all over again, Groundhog Day, when unpopular local rates were abolished by Fianna Fáil and people paid income tax rates up to 60% in the 80s. We risk repeating that mistake again. If you don't govern by your values,
Minister,
and govern based on
expired.
Public opinion alone,
Minister,
then you will never achieve anything. Former politicians stood in this House
Minister
and accused Fianna Fáil of economic
Please
treason. Today,
Minister,
I believe Fianna Fáil are guilty of environmental
Minister,
treason. Politics is failing the people of the country again. Utopian populism is winning again. It's Groundhog Day, colleagues. We will regret it, just as we did in 1977.
That's Alan Kelly, Acting Minister for the Environment, giving his take on the agreement that was done on the Irish Water part of the formation of government. Now, we were mentioning the issue and the story this morning of the Irish Examiner that Tommy Walsh is poised to quit Kerry, the Kerry football squad, amid growing frustration at his lack of game time. With me on the line to talk about this is Frank O'Connor, Chairman of Kearns O'Rahilly's GAA Club, of which Tommy Walsh is a member. Frank, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
Would you be disappointed to hear this news this morning if it does come to pass?
I would, of course, indeed. Tommy has been a great servant to the club and the county over the years. And as we all know, he spent many years over in Australia, went through serious injury, and returned just over a year and a half ago, and came straight back into the Kerry panel. I'd be disappointed, of course. I suppose lack of game time, I can understand that for him. Last year, he got 7 minutes of championship football. You know, it was an injustice to him in a way that the man wasn't left to more football with his club to get back into playing Gaelic football after playing for a number of years over in Australia. So, yes, I can indeed understand his frustration.
We're going to talk a little bit more about government formation. We heard from the Fianna Fáil side of things in a parliamentary party meeting that they held. In a minute, we're going to hear from Brendan Griffin, Fine Gael deputy, about what his party said. But first, have a listen to what Fine Gael, chairman of the Killarney Municipal District and member of Kerry County Council, Bobby O'Connell, said to me yesterday at the prospect of Fine Gael essentially giving in on Irish water charges.
I'd be more inclined to go for a snap election, to be quite honest. There's compromise and there's compromise. We can't completely prostitute ourselves just to form a government. I mean, you can't put everything up on the table, the complete family of silver, and say, look, this is it, and we're selling everybody out here. If it comes to it, and let's call their bluff, and if they want to go out to the country, let's go out to the country. And if they get rejected by the people, then that's so be it.
Okay, there you go. That's what Bobby O'Connell had to say. Brendan Griffin is on the line. Brendan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry, and good morning to everyone listening.
What do you make of what Bobby said yesterday, that the agreement to the suspension, or in effect maybe a scrapping of water charges, is Fine Gael going too far, compromising too much?
Well, and that I'd agree with Bobby, and that's not what has happened, and that's not what's on the table in relation to water and what the deal that we understand is there for discussion, and nothing is agreed yet. According to the parliamentary party last night, the information that we have is that the prospect of Irish water being abolished is no longer on the table, that the utility set up to fix the infrastructure for the country will remain, and that the question of charges and the structure of charging is going to be something that will be suspended pending a commission, an expert commission, to find perhaps a better way forward. So, look, I think it represents a compromise between the Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil positions on the issue, and hopefully it's something that will lead to the formation of a stable government. And it was, as you know, look, it's been an impasse for some time now. People have been extremely frustrated by it, and I think this is something that is reasonable. It's something that is practical and sensible, and hopefully it will lead to a way forward to try to tackle all of the other issues that are out there.
But you say suspension, right? Pending a commission and ultimately pending a Dáil vote. What everyone out there listening to hears from that is scrapping. Water charges will never be brought back in under that system. Is that not fair to say?
Well, look, that's one view.
Two things struck me in the last month or two, observing all the centenary celebrations about the men of 1916, etc. And I was thinking, what would these men and these idealists think of this system of keeping people for 5, 6, 7 years in these conditions? And I said, wouldn't it be a nice gesture? Wouldn't it be a compassionate gesture? Wouldn't it be a meaningful gesture for the government to say, we'll take this group and we will give them the relief they're entitled to now?
Yeah, allow them to work, allow them to live a life here.
Yes, allow them to live a life here and remove them from that process. This would have several advantages. First of all, you're not creating a precedent.
No.
Because the next time this will arise is 2116.
Yeah.
So it's a one-off job that you're doing to mark the celebration of this. There will be no pull factor, what we call the pull factor. In other words, when conditions in a country are made more attractive because of modern communications now, would be refugee people.
Because anyone arriving in new would go into the system, the new system that's being put in place, they wouldn't qualify as the same as these 3,000 people by being here for 5 years.
No, they'd have to go through the new process.
Sure. Brian, we're running short of time. Final comment for you from a listener. I completely disagree with Brian's suggestion. The country is $7 billion in debt. We have no healthcare system. Our own young people are gone, and he wants to bring in more. We cannot cope with any more.
Let me just give you one statistic.
Yeah.
On Tuesday last, I was carrying out another function from the government with regard to new citizens. And we have sworn in last Tuesday 2,700 new citizens. Now, let me clear what new citizens are. These are people, foreign people from maybe 161 countries all over the world, came to Ireland 5 years ago. They're lawfully here. They worked for 5 years and they apply for citizenship. And they're given the status by the government as new citizen. Since this procedure was started in 2011, I have presided at functions like that, which has given new citizenship to 98,000 people in 5 years.
All
these
who work.
Are the people all over the country you see now, from Nigeria, from the Congo, from Zimbabwe, from all over the country. We have 98,000 new people. They're not causing any problem. They're helping the economy. They're working. They're paying their taxes. And we're talking here about the number of 2,000 people that we have kept here for 5 years without a resolution.
In terrible conditions. Brian, great point. Thanks for getting in touch with us and thanks for giving us your take and your view on the work that's being done and that JRS report yesterday. That's Brian McMahon, former judge.
Bird's Eye View with Frank King on Kerry Today.
Morning, Frank.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's almost time to go home.
No, it isn't. We've plenty of time.
Oh, nonsense, lady.
I saw, not only did I see one hoopoo, I saw two hoopoos.
Did you really? Moment.
I did.
Not photographs?
No, I was driving on the road and
I hope
it was
so.
Somewhere.
Not across the field.
No, somewhere in Bannon. I was coming back from West Cork on Sunday morning.
Yes.
And I saw them, they were in trees, they were flying up. And I just saw a flash of wings.
Yes.
And I saw all the exotic colours.
Oh, beautiful. Good.
And I thought for a second it was an escaped parrot, but then I realised, no.
It's the hoopoo.
That's the rare, the layman's rarity.
Yes, right, yes.
Of the hoopoo.
And you're the layman.
There you go, very much.
And listen, was it just one?
Two. There was one kind of flying up to a top level of the branches, and there was one on a branch. Two together.
That's interesting because they seldom meet each other, you know.
Really?
Yes. Which is why they never breed here.
Well,
you'd have one in Kerry and the next one would be in Cork.
Yes,
that type of thing. But these two met.
These two were on the same tree.
Well, now, when they nest, not in an open nest, but in a hole.
In a hole?
In a hollow tree or in a wall or an old ruin. Out of sight.
Very good.
The same as a jackdaw.
Yes.
You never see a jackdaw's nest.
No.
Unless it comes down the chimney into the room.
And then you know all about it.
Yes, far too much.
Now, we've a couple of queries to get to. Will I get to those first?
We do, yes. We have two listeners.
Frank King, Robin coming into the kitchen 4 or 5 times a day. Is this normal?
It is for that, Robin.
Yes. Close the door in the window if you don't want them coming in, I suppose.
Exactly, yes. There's no, it's harmless. And if he leaves a little deposit, well, it sure is so dainty.
It's good luck. Abigail says, can you ask Frank about this rhyme about the cuckoo? In April, he opens his bill. In May, he sings all the day. In June, he changes his tune. Now, in the rhyme, he changes his tune from what to what, do you know?
His voice breaks.
Yes.
And he goes, like that.
But do you know the rhyme?
Oh, the cuckoo, rhyme is, the cuckoo comes in April.
April he opens
his
bill.
We all have different versions of it.
Ah, yes.
One is the cuckoo comes in April. He sings his song in May. In June, it lays its egg and then it flies away.
Ah, so that's the one you have.
Yes.
Okay, can anyone else out there help Abigail if you know this particular one? In April, he opens his bill. In May, he sings all the day. In June, he changes his tune. But what's the rest of it? Help us out.
Agnes, you've over 37 years, you must have been caught once or twice by people who did a runner.
I'd say I was caught about 10 times.
And you have a particularly good story about an American woman who caught you for quite an amount of money.
Yes, I had a lady stay with me and her surname was Health. She really came with a health warning, but I didn't see that warning. Stayed with me for a month, rented my house, my holiday home in Kells. And had to come a few days earlier, so I thought, fine, you stay in the B&B. Stayed in the B&B, breakfast, everything, put it on the tab, I'll pay at the end. Now, I did have a small deposit before they did move in. So we went on to the end of it anyway. And she kept saying, be sure and have the bill ready. I said, yeah, have the bill ready. And it came to the second last evening, and she called to me, and she said, you have the bill ready now for the morning? I said, yes, indeed, I have. And I said, you know what, you may as well come over, I'll make you breakfast. And I bought a few CDs just to give them to them because I was delighted with my month's rent.
Of course
and
you were.
And it was the time that we built that house and I remember my husband saying, we need to go to the bank for the mortgage. I said, I have money on Tuesday. Going Tuesday. Very rich. She called me Tuesday morning. Everything fine. Breakfast, CDs delivered. And it's all done. So she said, I said, yeah, except the main business now, the bill. And her friend was with her and she said, do you mind if I send it to you? I nearly died, girl. And that was it. That was my story.
And you had no option but to let her off without paying.
Well, apart from holding onto her at the door, I mean, I was too weak to do that.
And she said she was going back to America, and she said she'd send it on to you.
Yeah, and she sent these beautiful emails to me. She sent a lovely report to me about me that I was the nicest person she ever met. Of course I was. I was a silly little person. And I felt so sad about it. I was walking down to the sea, but God never shuts a door, but he opens another one, a bigger door maybe. I was walking down to the sea here with my little dog, Kelly, and I thought, I was licking my wounds, and I thought, learn from it. Now, I did send her a few emails, loads of emails, and I said, even if she sent me $100 a month, anything, because I really needed the money. I said, honest to God, I need the money. So anyway, that's it. And I still send her the odd emails, hoping that she's feeling better, especially financially, but I never get an answer now. But walking down to the sea, this lady rang me, and she said, could she stay for so many days at the end of that year? And you know something? I was at the kind of feeling I thought, oh God, where am I going? So I'm not too bad at maths. I added up in my head and told her. And she said, I'll take it. And you know what? It was more than three quarters of what I had lost. And I still didn't learn from that. I had a lady staying a couple of years ago, and she stayed for about a week. She got very familiar with us. And I remember the night before she went away, she said to me, Joe, you needn't get up at all now in the morning, Agnes. You can stay in bed, she said. I'll make a cup of tea, she said. Sure, I know where everything is. I said, of course I'll get up. I said, that would be a very bad way to send anybody off. And then she was so determined that I said, fine, fine, fine. But of course I was up, and I gave her the tea, her breakfast, everything. And then she said, I'll send all my family now from here and there and everywhere. I'll send them all over to you, and they're all coming in such a month and everything. Goodbye now, she said. And I said, except one little tab now, I said, the money. And I asked her. She gave it to me reluctantly or whatever. She didn't hardly have it. We gathered all the pennies and pounds anyway. And I didn't see any relatives since from that lady either. So here's my story.
She was obviously planning on doing a runner as well.
Oh, yes, girl. But I was getting a small bit wiser.
Yeah. And Agnes, I suppose the vast majority of people, though, are very good.
Oh, brilliant. Sure, God, I wouldn't be living here. As I say to these people, we wouldn't be living here only for the people that stay with us. And I thank them, and I would be very, very kind to people. And it's the only the way we should be.
Absolutely.
What I have learned from it, and it's very, I'd like to say a very big thank you to that lady for highlighting it.
The lady who rang us yesterday.
At the beginning of the season,
yeah.
We are more vulnerable than at the end of it. And all these people are our teachers. And we love to see the people coming, and we love to see the sun shining, and we love to be busy. And we think, of course, the money is coming in the morning. When I got a bit better, I have my book open now and my love amok for the bit of pounds, and I'll have the tea and the cake then for them.
I think this is absolutely lovely. A Dingle listener sent me an email this morning, and she says, last Thursday, I was on my way to the casement commemoration at Bannastrand, and the traffic was backed up at Art Firth. Spotting a parking space outside McKelligott's pub, I decided to avail of the opportunity to use their toilets. Afterwards, I ordered a cup of coffee to go, just to buy something. And I realised, to my horror, that I only had about 20 cent in my wallet. I apologised to the man of the house, explained my predicament, and offered to call in again on the way back and pay him what he was owed. He told me that if I did that, I'd only insult him, and I was to go away and enjoy my day and enjoy my coffee. As it happened, Gardaí were diverting traffic on the way back, so I didn't get near the village again. But my experience in McKelligott's left a lovely impression of Art Firth. I'll definitely make it my business to go back again and call into McKelligott's and actually buy something this time. Well, I think that's lovely, because normally people who run in to use the loo, if they're not a customer, get an earful. Well, from a lot of places anyway, get an earful. And you can kind of see the bar owner or the restaurant owner's point as well, that, you know, they're supplying the heat and the soap and the electricity and the toilet paper and all that. But, you know, we've all been caught short at one time or another. And this lady obviously felt bad and wanted to buy a coffee. But imagine how embarrassed she was when she then discovered she'd no cash on her. But how nice that she got a lovely reception from the man in McKelligott's in Art Firth. And how nice that she took the trouble to email Radio Kerry to get it read out to publicly thank him. How many of you out there know that today is Poetry Day in Ireland? A lovely occasion, a day when we can all recite our favourite poem or attend a number of events that are happening around the county. So we decided that we might send some of the Solace Radio Kerry broadcasting students out and about to see if the people of Kerry can recite any poetry.
Let me think of one now. Who did I do for my leaving cert? Oh, John Donne. John Donne, yeah. So, batter my heart. Batter my heart, three person God. For you as yet, but not breathe, shine, and seek to mend. That I may rise and stand, overthrow me and bend, your force to break, blow, burn, and make me new.
If I remember correctly, it's a Seamus Heaney poem. I sat all morning in the college sick bay, counting bells, kneeling classes to a close. At 2 o'clock, our neighbours drove me home. In the porch, I met my father. He'd always taken funerals in his stride, and Big Jim Evans saying it was a hard blow. And that's all I can remember.
One of my favourite poems is Howl by Allen Ginsberg, but I'm definitely not going to recite it all because it's about 3 pages. But I remember the start of it. It's, I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving hysterical naked, dragging themselves through the streets at dawn looking for an angry fix.
I do remember fondly reading through a lot of Robert Frost's poems in English when we were younger in school, so I wish I could recite them.
The one, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost.
Can you recite a piece of it for us?
Yeah, it's two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveller long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could. Yeah, that's about all I got.
It's time to play Radio Rewards on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Billy Nocton Volvo, Mile High Tralee. The last word in Scandinavian design.
Right, so hopefully they're there on the other end.
Hello?
Hello there, is that Breda?
Yes! Yes!
Brendan Fuller here in Radio Kerry. How are you this evening?
I am delighted that you're ringing me.
Excellent. Right. Well, what have you been doing today? Anything out of the ordinary?
I have been brushing up my backyard and going to the dump with lots of rubbish out of the backyard.
Well, fair play to you. It sounds like you need a nice little surprise, a bit of a G-up for the rest of the day.
Oh, I certainly would, yes.
Right. How does €100 sound, Breda?
Absolutely brilliant.
Excellent. Yes. Well, it's yours. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
You're
very
welcome.
Now. You've really made my day.
Well, that's great. Any idea on what you're going to spend the €100 on? A new yard brush, maybe?
No. Maybe I go out to dinner with my husband.
Brilliant. Well, look, enjoy whatever you spend the money on, and thank you so much. Right, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you very
much. Breda.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
There you go, that is Breda Ryle in Dingle, winner of €100, and what a lovely lady as well.
Kerry is magnetic. And as soon as the word field is put into the equation, it becomes even more evident. However, the field I'm speaking of is not the one that you're thinking of. No. It's not John B. Keane's or the pitch that is graced every time that the Kerry team train. It's the field that can't be seen. It's invisible. It's a force to be reckoned with. It's the feeling of belonging along with togetherness. It's attraction. In a place filled with opposites and accents, it's the reason why Sam keeps on coming back to us. It's magnet. That's why when you say Kerry, it just sticks. And why I think magnetic is what Kerry is. Radio Kerry.